back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Haas of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro Eastside.
And I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank. We're chuckling because we have a new announcer on the bumpers. And man, he's intense. Wow. Holy cow.
I can't stay serious every time I hear it.
We're talking with Jonathan
Open House with Team Reba.
from the city of Seattle. So, Jonathan,
<I'm Batman. laughs>
so Jonathan, you are our stormwater specialist with the city of Seattle. You know, I'm a Seattle native. I grew up here, born at Northgate Hospital, which isn't even there anymore.
No.
But I remember growing up watching a neighbor who shall go unnamed changing the oil in his car and pouring the old oil
in
the ditch. And I also remember in North Seattle seeing Little Thornton Creek catch on fire. You know, because a gas station had a fuel tank leak that had just gone for, you know, probably a decade or something like that until it finally just hit critical mass and exploded. You know, boy, we've come a long way, you know, since then. And if we look at the quality of
we hope.
So tell us about that. I mean, one of the big issues, you know, with any city is stormwater and managing that. And I noticed, like, our stormwater grids, we got the little salmon, you know, painted on the, you know, the pavement in front of it as a reminder, hey, this water is going, you know, straight out into Puget Sound, so be careful what you put down it. So what are some programs that you do to kind of help with all of that?
Well, you bring up Thornton Creek, and you're right. We have made progress. So we're not dealing with huge eutrophication problems, no, huge blooms of algae where the lake is bright green all the time, mm-hmm. every year, the fish kills and stuff. We have periodic blooms, but it's mm-hmm. not as egregious as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned Thornton Creek. What we're looking at now is the infrastructure, the side sewers and the collector sewers, because of the age of the development out there,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
all of the pipes are kind of reaching design age at the same time. So they're starting to leak.
Yeah.
Design age, what is that?
That's, you know, if you build something, it's like if you buy a car, you think it's going to last maybe 10 years.
Right.
Then you'll have to get a new car.
Right.
So these pipes have either, you know, 50, 100-year design life to them. And a lot
and
of
that's
the development.
A fairly broad kind of range.
Yeah, and you can't be exact about
right.
it.
Right, okay.
But it's where you're going to expect to see failures
right.
in those pipes.
Okay.
Coming more frequently.
Right. Okay. The reason, Jonathan, that I kind of react to that right away, we have been recommending sewer scopes for our clients for quite a while. And oddly enough, just in this, you know, few months that we have into 2018, I'd seen this a few times over the last probably 7 to 10 years that we've been doing these, where a side sewer from one of my clients' properties, as it connects to the city sewer, there's signs that the sewer line from the city side is starting to go a little bit, right? And that it's like where that connection is of those two, like maybe there's a little bit of a crack on their side and then there's some crack on the city side. And we always recommend to our clients, keep this video and then make sure that you do this every few years and keep an eye on that. Because depending on, like, where you live, I know, like, one of them lives on Magnolia, and there's a bus route that goes right in front of their house. So there's intense, you know, heavy pressure of traffic every day in front of their place. And if that goes, it's more likely probably to go on the city side, but not necessarily. If it happens on their side, then they're going to be responsible. But if it's that connection, there's always the chance that the city might also have some responsibility. So we always say, make sure you're still doing this every couple of years, because the $250 you're going to spend on that scope is probably worth it once this thing goes, or you catch it before it really goes and get someone to do something about it, because those repairs are very expensive.
Yeah, they're incredibly expensive.
Yeah, and so if we get to like end of life of some of these things, I mean, the amount of projects I'm imagining that would have to happen around the city would be enormous.
Right, I think you're giving excellent advice on the side sewers too. And
okay.
Around here,
thank you.
The property owner. The property owners own that side sewer up to the first joint, and then the city owns past that joint to the mm-hmm. collector pipes. And if it breaks on your side of the pipe,
mm-hmm.
you're on the hook for $15,000, $20,000.
At least.
And yeah, you know,
and nowadays, as I understand it, if it's out in the street, the city of Seattle requires a 12x12 concrete pad to be done.
Right, and then right? Your prices are going through the ceiling on that one.
Right, so it gets very expensive. So you know, stormwater and sewer and all these other things. I'm super interested in stuff. I mean, I've been a total geek for I can't even tell you how long. Like, I was one of the first people doing the rain barrels. Like, I remember when the city of Seattle first came out with those, and I was one of those people who snagged them, and they like ran out of them right away. But you know, and I know we were talking about this on the break, but and I can't wait to get to this, but even doing rain gardens and things like that, because for some reason, like, I've just always been very attuned to all these things. So I'm excited we have you on the air with us today, because this is stuff that, oddly enough, as kind of pedantic as some people might think it might be, I'm like, I love it.
Well, it affects a lot of homeowners in our area as well. So
it affects everything around us.
Right, right. So what about that with existing homeowners? You know, we have to worry about our sewer or side sewer, you know, broken pipes and things mm-hmm. like that. You know, sometimes though there are no telltale signs that there's a problem until it ends up in our basement or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's the most common telltale sign, and it's pretty mm-hmm. obvious when the sewage is backing up in your basement.
Yeah, which is pretty gross.
But we have a lot of houses along ravines, and the creeks are down in the ravines.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have broken leaking side sewers and not know about it because it's not going to back up. It's
right.
leaking down into our surface.
Gravity's taking care of it. Yeah.
So we really wanted to get that taken care of because they run downhill, downstream, you know, and discharge frequently next to our public swimming beaches, and we don't want to have sewage
right.
going into where we're
or anything else. I mean, that's
why
you have
yeah,
no
exactly.
dumping signs all the time and things of that sort too. Because I can tell you, I had a client years ago, they were just past where the city of Seattle was. They were in an unincorporated area of King County. But to your point, they were on a ravine. Had a beautiful view out over this ravine, and there was a King County Park down below and then a creek that ran through. And we're cleaning this house out, right? And he's hired a guy to come do haul away, which is supposed to go to like one of our local dumps where things can be handled appropriately and if there's any toxic chemicals or things like that. And I'm in the house with the homeowner. And we walk outside, and all of a sudden, my client's screaming and yelling. I'm like, what in the world's going on back there? And he goes back, and he'd caught the Holloway guy chucking stuff over the backside of the lot down into the ravine. Because mm-hmm. he didn't want to have to pay the fees, I guess. Like, that was his way of saving money.
Right, right.
But the ensuing argument, I was like, do I need to call the cops? It was a very uncomfortable moment. But I mean, I thought about that. It was like, you know, people often will do that. They'll just chuck things back into some place. And to your point, like, all you're doing is you're shipping it downstream. I mean, I saw it in Panama when I went down there a year and a half ago. People just throw it somewhere where as long as I don't see it, it's like it doesn't exist.
Well, I think even people that don't have that intent,
mm-hmm.
sometimes we're doing it. Prescription drugs are a good example where
a
lot of people will put them down the toilet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing is that you can find those drugs out in Puget Sound.
They
have impacts of feminization of fish. So
the
male fish no longer produce sperm and they have female characteristics. So you want to dispose of that properly. And a lot of times that's an education thing. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. that people are trying to pollute the sound.
They're just unaware.
Yeah. And they know they want to get rid of these drugs, but
Okay, so if memory serves, maybe you know the proper. I mean, what is the proper way?
Yeah, I think
to get rid of
a lot of the drug stores will take unused.
Yeah, the pharmacies.
Well,
pharmacies
will
take
the
right?
drugs back, and that's the best way. And then I know that a couple of the solid waste sites will take unused drugs, but then there's a bunch of legal issues around having 55-gallon drums full of Xanax and.
Right.
Combinations of all these other drugs.
Right.
But you don't want them in the water because they're not taken out in the sewage treatment plant and they have.
Okay. And then they still dissolve. I mean, they're in something else, so they're going to dissolve and.
That is my next question, actually.
That's interesting.
How effective is our sewage treatment systems? And is the city of Seattle is hooked up to Brightwater, right? Or are we not?
No, we're not hooked up to Brightwater. Brightwater's up in.
That's in Snohomish.
Yeah, it's up.
Right.
you know.
Well, call it Woodinville, I guess.
It's up in Woodinville, and it's taken a lot of that flow. But it's
okay.
The whole system's connected.
It's
so taken Seattle.
A lot of. Sorry, so many fun ways you could say this. Sorry.
So we Seattle is basically West Point, and then the treatment plant down on the Duwamish River.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. So West Point, which is Magnolia,
right?
And and then the Green River or but Duwamish where, River.
Yeah, wherever your sewage is going. Mm-hmm. It's eventually being discharged into Puget Sound.
Okay, right. And how effective are those systems?
We've got very effective systems. Brightwater is one of the most highly designed plants that we have. It's also one of the more expensive to run, but it's the newest one around.
Right.
We've got secondary treatment here, so it takes out a lot of the solids, a lot of the nutrients, and that brings out a lot of the heavy metals as well.
Okay.
City of Van-